Underwater slides threaten an energy transmission cable, and the Hainsborough manager discusses municipal response to budget cuts. This is your KHNS Local News. I'm Claire Strimple. Those stories are up next. Hydropower in the Upper Lynn Canal may be secure in drought, but the underwater cable that connects Haines and Skagway is not so secure. Underwater landslides deteriorated the outside jacket of the underwater cable that transfers power from Skagway sources to Haines consumers. Pressure from slide material is further stressing the exposed cable. Skagway Alaska Power and Telephone manager Darren Belial says another slide could take the cable out.
Yeah, it is. It is going to go out. When, you know, could it be tomorrow? Yeah. Could it be next year? Yeah. It is going to go out soon.
AP&T noticed the problem when fiber optic communications between power plants on either side of the canal went out on March 3rd. They launched an underwater remote-operated vehicle last week to assess the damage. Cable maintenance is tricky. The water where the cable lies is 300 to 1,200 feet deep at the site of the damage. Belial says there are only about 5 ships in the world capable of laying power cable under the sea. Cables are also job-specific. They'd have to make a specialized cable. The Casadea plant is the only hydropower on the Haines side of the canal. Hydropower coming across the cable is what gets Haines through the winter when AP&T shuts Casadea down. There's enough power generated at Goat Lake to keep Skagway running on hydropower year-round in the case of cable failure, but Haines would only get hydropower during the summer. Belial says Haines would have to run on more expensive diesel power in wintertime if the cable broke. Haines does have a diesel generator. Belial says the infrastructure is older, but up to the task.
Looking at ways to make sure that Haines is fully powered. We just need to do a little more proactive, making sure we have more than what we need.
AP&T has not decided whether to repair or replace the cable. Any maintenance will affect the rate consumers pay. Belial says all options are still on the table, and that AP&T is working to keep costs down. The Hainesborough is trying to find sources of revenue to pay off the construction of the Haines School in the event that the legislature cuts state funding. Proposals include an increase in local property taxes and a resolution in support of a statewide head tax. Henry Leisha spoke with Hainesborough manager Deborah Schnabel to learn more.
The House Finance Committee voted to defund Alaska's school bond debt reimbursement program, which provides financial assistance to municipalities for constructing schools. So the Hainesborough has received annual payments of about $900,000 each year to help pay off the construction of the Haines School back in 2005. And so if that funding is eliminated, you've proposed to raise property taxes to offset the cost. So I was hoping you could tell me a bit about why you chose this kind of response.
Because it's a debt that we presumably would owe if the state does not pay the 70%. And I think that to dip into the savings that we have, i.e. use fund balance to pay for a $900,000 payment would be devastating to our security. So, like, I mean, what do we do then next year? Do we up this, the mill rate 3% or 3 mills? So by hitting the community, the taxpayers, with the reality of that cost right now when we're faced with that threat seemed to me to be a lot more prudent. Some people would like to know, why didn't you cut programs? Well, the question is, I think that's a community issue. I don't think that the managerial form of government necessarily means that the manager can make a decision about what programs that we're offering in the community. Is it my prerogative to say we're not going to run them anymore? Because every one of the programs that the borough operates is something that is in response to a constituency. And because the community has been funding it year after year after year after year, there has to be an assumption that it is something that we value and something that we want to keep.
You know, related to this issue is a resolution on the agenda for Tuesday's assembly meeting in support of Senate Bill 50. So this bill would implement a statewide head tax of $30 on the wages of residents and non-residents working in Alaska. And funds from the tax would be used for the maintenance and construction of educational facilities. So why have you and the mayor sponsored this resolution?
Well, it came to my consciousness through the Alaska Municipal League. And basically, it's revitalizing or reviving a program that was part of Alaska's revenue production up until the 1980s. And the idea would be that $13 million annually would be raised by this. That would be appropriated for schools, both maintenance and construction.
Specifically with SB 50, if that passes, would that change the proposed mill rate increase at all, or is it hard to say?
Just because the legislature passes a bill doesn't mean it's going to be acted within that day. I think that somebody has to set the program up. There has to be a way to determine how it's going to be collected, how it's going to be deposited, all of those things. But I don't think that idea of collecting $30 from every employee in the state of Alaska could be enacted quickly enough to pay off everyone's debt. Besides, it's a whole lot more than $13 million. I mean, statewide, Haynes alone is about $1 million. So there's $20 million in the Mat-Su borough. It's $43 million in the Fairbanks North Star borough. I mean, it's huge amounts of money.
That was Borough Manager Deborah Schnabel in conversation with KHNS reporter Henry Leisha. The Haynesboro Assembly meets Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. You can stream the meeting live at khns.org. This is your KHNS Local News. I'm Claire Strimple. Thanks for joining us. You can hear these stories and more on our website at khns.org or follow the podcast on Stitcher or NPR One.